when I think on the life which Francis Bacon has lived among us in this community, many things come to mind. But one thought with particular compelling force, that is his refusal to permit his heart and spirit to age with his body, remaining ever young in his interests and in spirit. When he and Edith came back to Lansdowne to live, something which made his friends here very happy indeed, he already was at the retirement age, but he was not of a retirement spirit. He readily accepted responsibilities in this meeting, served on many committees, accepted appointments to represent the meeting at conferences, at quarterly meetings, and in just about any way that the meeting wanted him to serve. He was always ready and willing to accept those responsibilities. His usefulness at the midweek meeting at the school, here primarily for the school, has already been mentioned. A group of adults came to feel their need to know more about the Bible. This too has been mentioned. We turned immediately, with one accord, to Francis Bacon. And members of that group have testified that never have they appreciated the Bible so much as after they had spent these several sessions under his leadership. When the Religious Education Committee decided to turn to him to teach the Bible to a group of teenagers, I had doubts. Having had experience and training in social group work, and having been taught that the best leader for a group of teenagers is one who is not more than 5 or 6 or 7 years older than the average age of the group, I wondered if this man would be able to communicate across the years to these young people. And he was. I had a boy in the class. Most boys, and this one is no exception, not especially outgoing when it comes to paying compliments to their teachers in first day school classes. But through this boy, we learned that Francis Bacon communicated. And this is something which is sorely needed in this world of ours. People who can communicate, and through communication, learn to understand and appreciate each other. He communicated across the years to a group of teenagers. And so I feel that we do not mourn his passing. We feel rather appreciation, grateful, that we have been able to share his life as he has lived it among us. As I thought about it, I was guided rather directly and somehow rightly to these words of Rufus Jones: "The power that guides the unfolding of the acorn and pushes up the oak, that mind that brings the gorgeous butterfly out of the dull cocoon and raises it to its new and winged career, may well know how to swallow up mortality with life and bring us and ours to a higher stage of being. This new and greater miracle of another life beyond does not stagger us much after we have fully entered into the wonder of the spring. It is no more difficult to carry a soul safely over the bridge of death into the light and joy of a new world than it is to make a spring dandelion out of one of those strange winged seeds which a child carelessly blew away last summer. But here is the dandelion. It is common enough. We hardly stop to look down into its yellow face or to meditate on the wonder of its arrival over the narrow bridge of that flying sea. But if we could penetrate all its mysteries, could know it root and all in all, we could see through all the mysteries there are, and we should find it easy to say, I believe in the resurrection and in the life everlasting. As far as we are able to discover, the soul possesses infinite capacity. A blossom may reach its perfection in a day, but no one has fathomed the possibilities of a human heart. Eternity is not too vast for a soul to grow in, if the soul wills to grow. Eternity is not too vast for a soul to grow in, if the soul wills to grow. And we who knew Francis know something of the breadth and width of this soul and of its will to grow. And somehow, as we contemplate this life, the 23rd Psalm speaks with particular aptness and with ringing clarity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.